Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Dr. Jim Bradford. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Our series is Calling Out to God, and we've had some great subjects, calling out to God for his help, calling out to God in the face of impossibility, calling out to God with repentance, calling out to God for joy, which we saw last week. We have tonight and then two more weeks out of this series. I'll be bringing it next week again, and then Pastor Crystal is going to end our series in 2 weeks from tonight. Tonight, we're going to talk about calling out to God for something that the Scripture specifically tells us to cry out to him for. And it's wisdom. I'm really excited about this because it's a high felt need subject for me. I need wisdom. I'm always in over my head. I need wisdom. I don't know about you. If you don't need wisdom, you might be living too safely. You may not be stretching like you should, putting yourself out there. But I want to tell you, we have a God who tells us to cry out to him for wisdom. And one of my favorite chapters in the Old Testament is actually Proverbs chapter 2. And Proverbs chapter 2 starts this way. And I'm going to skip. In fact, let's go back. Our theme verse for the week, for the series, has been Psalm 18, verse 6. In my distress, I called out to the Lord. I cried out to God for help. And from his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. Now just keep that in the back of your mind now as we come to see Proverbs 2, the first few verses overlaid on that. Verse 1 of Proverbs 2, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to what? One more time, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. There's going to be a couple of synonyms for wisdom here. It's understanding and insight. So he's going to kind of mix those words all together. He's roughly talking about the same thing. If you will, and notice the verbs will start getting stronger. First of all, if you'll turn your ear to wisdom. We talked last Sunday morning about always trying to cultivate that ear for the voice of God. He says, if you'll turn your ear to wisdom, and then a little bit stronger verb from even turning to applying your heart to understanding. In other words, I'm giving my heart towards the quest of understanding or finding wisdom. And verse 3, indeed, getting a little stronger, the verbs, if you call out for insight. We're talking about calling out to God. If you call out for insight, and cry aloud for understanding. So this is getting serious. Now I'm crying aloud in desperation for something. And if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. Now it's like with the desperation, you've got the map. Nobody else has the map. You know where the buried treasure is. And man, you're cashing in everything to find that buried treasure. He says, if with that intensity, you will call out to God for wisdom. Well, the first thing that's going to happen is you're not going to get smarter, you're going to run smack into the living God. He said, because you will understand then the fear of the Lord, and you will find the knowledge of God. Reminds us of a few chapters later in Proverbs, it's not on the screen, but Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So somehow there's this great connection between our pursuit of wisdom, like we're on a treasure hunt, literally crying aloud for understanding in our lives, that somehow all paths will lead there. And you're going to come to find out the fear of God and find the knowledge of God. And the reason is given in the next verse. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. That's one of the verses I have memorized. I happen to quote that verse a lot. It really gives me reassurance. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, wisdom in the Proverbs is more than your IQ going up. Rather, it's the quality of your righteous life going up. Wisdom, in a lot of the senses in Proverbs, is moral wisdom. Sometimes I've heard people say, man, Pastor, I can't believe I did that. And they talk about how they just succumbed to temptation, they just messed up, they made foolish decisions that were self-centered, and they hurt their family, and they hurt the people around me. And they'll say to me, how could I be so stupid? How could I have done that? And this is where the wisdom of God comes. He says, you become desperate. You cry out aloud. You're on like a treasure search, like looking for hidden treasure with that kind of application of your heart to, Lord, help me be smarter than just messing my life up all the time. Help me be smart enough to live morally. Help me to be smart enough to choose righteousness instead of sin. Help me to be smart enough to listen to you rather than me. Help me to be smart enough to really follow you in all of these ways. Could be you're here tonight in a condition where you're not sure your heart's right with God, but his Spirit draws you to Christ. And it's Christ and a life with him that can actually begin to renovate our lives and energize a right kind of living in us. In fact, at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul there is playing around with this idea of wisdom as well. And he makes this amazing statement. He says, Jesus has become God's wisdom to us. That is righteousness, holiness, and redemption. In other words, when you're seeking God's wisdom, ultimately you become a Jesus seeker. Because it's Jesus whose death on the cross allows our sins to be forgiven, and his resurrection from the dead allows there to be resurrection power, his Spirit given to us, so that when we repent and ask God forgiveness for our sins, and we seriously align our lives in the direction of what the Bible would call wisdom, in Jesus' direction, then there's an energizing power. We call it theologically sanctification. It means we become more and more set apart to God in our lifestyles, in our choices, in our values, in even our affections. And when God can win the battle of our affections, he's won a huge battle. Where our very affections start going towards him till we start loving what he loves and hating what he hates. And he gives us, Paul says there in 1 Corinthians, he said he actually gives us the mind of Christ. And so here Jesus becomes God's wisdom to us. He is the God who gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And in Proverbs, this is largely a moral wisdom, so that you develop a whole life disposition towards choosing what's right rather than what's wrong. But when you encounter Jesus, you actually have Jesus living through you, helping you to make those right choices. Listen, resisting temptation is more than teeth gritting and iron-willed determination. It's going hard after the heart of Jesus, like you're looking for hidden treasure. And it's crying out for his understanding. Lord, please, every day, help me to understand how you want me to live. And help me not to just know it in my head, but let your resurrection Spirit start living Jesus' life out through me. And in this sense, Jesus becomes the wisdom of God to us. It's right there in Jesus. All roads lead to Jesus, to the cross, and out the tomb, because he is the number one, and he is God's wisdom for us. But in the New Testament, there's another book in the New Testament written actually by Jesus' younger brother, his actually younger sibling, and his name is James. And in James chapter 1, in the beginning of James' letter, he gives us one further dimension on wisdom that we're going to have some fun with. For he says, in James 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, Now, here he's not talking so much in the context of moral wisdom like in the Proverbs. It's just wisdom for wisdom. Do you need wisdom in any way in your life? Then, hello, ask God. Ask him, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So we find when we are crying out to God for wisdom, we first of all encounter Jesus and the life transformation there. But then as he sets us on our way, there's so many other areas that we just need his wisdom in. And he said, you realize that your Heavenly Father is generous when it comes to giving out wisdom. He's generous there. And so if you lack wisdom, just ask him. So here we cry out to God. And we say, Lord, I just ask you for wisdom. And he gives generously to all without finding fault. And you're going to find that it will be given to you, James said. So I want you to put God's word to test in your life and see. Now, as you know, I have a scientific training background. And I love, someone gave me, you know, my field is rocket science or actually aerospace engineering. Someone gave me a great t-shirt last week. It said, it's not rocket science, it's aerospace engineering. I go, yes, that's it. It's now my favorite t-shirt. I love science, watch Star Trek too much. But I'm fascinated because science in the Western world developed from people who loved God, who believed in God, unlike what you hear today. And they believe that our universe had an order to it and that there's an ingenious wisdom embedded in our universe. And so I especially like when scientists who love Jesus have called out to God for wisdom. I'm going to give you three quick examples. I've carried these with me for some years. I just like to pull them out every once in a while. First of all, in the early 1600s, in 1618, a guy by the name of Johannes Kepler over there in Europe, he would be the father of modern astronomy, and he loved Jesus. He was crunching about a lot of numbers one day. He was watching the motion of planets and stars, crunching numbers, and all of a sudden, on May 15th, 1618, it came to him in a flash. The squares of the periods of revolution are to each other as the cubes of the mean distances from the sun. That's marvelous, right there. And it's probably not a thought that just drops into your head on an average day. He was basically saying, if you take the length of time it takes for a planet to orbit the sun and square, you know, 10 squared is like 10 times 10, the square of that period of time has a direct proportion to the cube of the mean distance from the sun. And we call it today Kepler's third law of orbital dynamics. We still use it to send up satellites. This just popped in his head. And he believed God told him that. And so he goes on, he felt exuberant and fancied that he had been given a morsel of heavenly knowledge that had, up until now, been denied to man. And then he said, I feel carried away and possessed by an unutterable rapture over the divine spectacle of the heavenly harmony. I don't know if the squares of the periods of revolution being proportionate to the cubes of the mean distances from the sun cause you to have an unutterable rapture, but he felt he saw a glimpse of God's nature. And he said, God shared with me a morsel of heavenly knowledge. Or Samuel Morse in the 1800s, he invented the telegraph, which transformed global communications. And it's where we get Morse code from, that name, Morse code. He was an inventor and also a painter. He was a scientist and an artist. He said, more than once, whenever I could not see my way clearly, I knelt down and prayed to God for light and understanding. And he was talking about his inventions and his scientific experiments. So he gets stuck. Man, I used to know that as a science student. You get stuck on science problems. So he said, I'd get on my knees when I got stuck on a science problem. I'd get on my knees. I'd pray to God for light and understanding. He goes on to say, I have made a valuable application of electricity, not because I was superior to other men, but solely because, get this, God, who meant it for mankind, must reveal it to someone, and he was pleased to reveal it to me. I mean, I'm grateful for a scientist that believes in the wisdom of God to that degree. And then the funniest one, George Washington Carver, a botanist and inventor who developed all kinds of applications for the peanut that help millions of people in our world nutritionally. He said, "When I was young, I said to God, 'God, tell me the mystery of the universe.' But God answered, 'That knowledge is reserved for me alone.' So I said, 'God, then tell me the mystery of the peanut.' And God said, 'Well, George, that's more nearly your size.'" But it's those last four words that are stunning. "And he told me." We serve a God who gives wisdom. For God gives wisdom. And from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So do you lack wisdom? I want to challenge you, some of you out running businesses. I want to tell you, Jesus wants to be your senior partner. Let him transform you first. But then he also wants to be your senior partner. Get on your knees and ask him how to manage your company. Ask him what the next step is for the team you're leading. You may be working a mailroom somewhere in Springfield. You may feel at the bottom of the corporate totem pole. But get on your knees and ask God for wisdom to make it the best mailroom in Springfield, and then see what God does. I want to tell you, God's interested in where we're spending most of our life during the week. And this God gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So here's his promise as we close. Here's God's promise. It's Psalm 32, verse 8. "I will instruct you and teach you." Notice the will there. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. And I will counsel you with my eye upon you. I took that out of the New American Standard Version. The New International Version said, "I will counsel you with my loving eye upon you." Listen, he loves you. He's behind you more than you realize. And he's got all the wisdom in the world. And he said, "I'll instruct you, I'll teach you, and I'll counsel you. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." I don't know about you, I love this, because I sure need it. But just think, we're his people. Just think what can happen when he keeps his promise and teaches us and instructs us and counsels us. So will you stand with me, please?